Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Michael Hammer from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube. We do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown, but also the show formerly known as NXT 2.0.
We're getting closer to Mark and Lard, aren't we?
Yeah. AW Dynamite, AW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a video quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamlet, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. Don't do this, obviously, but I do like the idea of people listening to this podcast in their car, driving, and with the other hand saluting.
The SmackDown Cinema Salute. Here's the thing. I remember you dropping that for the first time, and I couldn't get over how long it was.
Yeah.
It was in a period that deserved it. If I recall correctly, it was 2022, and Sami Zayn was feeling pretty oozy, right? So it absolutely warranted it, but nonetheless, I was like, wow, that's long.
Someone's put the full eight-minute segment of like the beginnings of Sami and the Bloodline on Squared Circle this morning.
But that feels like that was that era where that debuted on this podcast. And obviously, it has grown into the richly deserved SmackDown Cinema Salute. But much like the experience we both shared at the last ever supersized WrestleMania, WrestleMania 35, it has reached a point where at some point I'm going, come on, this is going on, you're taking the piss. Mm-hmm. To that point where I'm like, five more minutes. We are standing up and saluting in a studio where there's no cameras on us.
Nah.
Nobody's taking pictures. We're not doing it for bits.
No.
We just get up from our chairs.
We've given up taking the photo now.
We basically look at each other and salute, right, while the music plays, like, around our heads.
It started off as a joke, and I think it's got more serious now. I think one of us didn't stand, the other one would glare at them.
Yeah, get up. Get up.
Stand up. I've broken my leg. Stand get for up. The SmackDown Cinema Salute, SCS.
There's that ECW clip of Perry Saturn with his leg in a full crutch doing a flying elbow from the top rope. And you're like, wrestling was just nuts once upon a time. Like, this is how it makes me feel. It's like, I'll take five more minutes of that. And to be honest, I don't want to take a dump on a show that we love previewing on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't take five more minutes of SmackDown. I'm pretty content with the 2 hours.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I'm pretty content with the 2 hours I get. I like 3 hours of Raw, because Raw's good. We all know that. It's the best show of the week. It's the best show in wrestling. 31 years and counting. And SmackDown right now, with what feels like a far more compact 2 hours, as opposed to Raw, is hitting just right. I wanted so much to be reviewing it with you on Monday, and like, I liked it a lot. Monday was really cool. Monday was I don't think I've even told like the listeners this.
No.
It was the end of an Easter holidays, which has already been extended by 2 days. it was the end of the Easter holidays. I was in Philadelphia for a week of that, so I'm not complaining. But like, to come back from Philadelphia and go right to like kids on holiday was like, oh God, love you. Like, and then my my wife, who is so patient with my nonsense and was obviously holding down the fort, just like...
Dropped, oh, good, three kids to look after.
Yeah. Just like dropped in, have you remember the situation with Monday? And I'm nodding because I never want her to realise that I've forgotten everything that we've
Your
discussed.
Your head's going Monday night
roll. Yeah. It's like, love, I never forget. It's the longest running weekly episodic TV show. If anything, you're the one that needs reminding at 1 a.m. every week. Get a Raws on.
It must be Monday.
Yeah.
You don't remember?
Yeah, and she reminded me that the school, brilliant school, love the school, nothing but love for the school. Until this day, when I was advised that these holidays was to be extended by a day because of like scheduled necessary boiler maintenance, and they just thought it was better to keep it consistent rather than picking a day at random, some random Thursday in the middle
and
of the
day. And they had a 2 week holiday where they could have done it then. But.
No, I'm not going to get down that road because that like triggers some of the worst people to be the worst takes.
Yes.
But yes.
Teachers work incredibly hard.
Really?
We work harder, but you know, they work incredibly hard.
I'm going to brush right past that. Especially for the listening teachers. I've got so many friends who are teachers.
My mom's a teacher,
we
yeah.
chat teaching stuff, and I'm like, my God, your job. Thank you.
That sounds hard, but have you ever had to handle an 8-page soundboard before?
Like, this is it. Like, we should be saluting teachers. We instead salute a wrestling show. Right.
In the pandemic, I actually banged a frying pan out my back door.
So thanks.
For SmackDown.
But that was a gaffer. Yeah, so... There was this random Monday that appeared. I had a really great day with the kids. My jet lag was starting to subside. We went swimming in, and this was great, right? So like most of the kids had gone back to school. Mm-hmm. So we went swimming in a pool that was virtually empty. The swimming pool has a water slide. If you know it in the Northeast, it's Waves of Whitley Bay.
Can't wait to go and try that out with Eric.
Has a water slide. And we did like 20 goes in
a row
before like one, like dad was there with his toddler. It was like, what are you doing? me and my, like, at this point, like, they're, you know, they're 8 and 11, but they might as well be large adult sons compared to the kids that were there. Like, we were just like, oh, it's our slide then.
Yeah, you've been acting like you're a really rich person who, you know, like, instead of going like, oh, this could be awkward because I'm not saying you're thinking this, but like, you know, when they're like, I don't know, really famous and they go like, let's just book out the entire restaurant because then we don't get bothered. You've booked out the entire swimming pool.
Yeah, exactly that, right? So we get that. We get a fun shack, which I've been to you before with you, Anna Louise, and an in utero Eric, I believe.
I believe so, yeah.
That fun shack, again, most people at school.
Terrifying.
Virtually empty, and they have a wristband rule, so you get your hour and a half. Not on days when it's not that busy.
Oh.
They just want you to stick around and buy more coffee. So I was able to watch...
You tie yourselves out, kids.
I was able to watch half an hour of you and Sige doing the Q&A pod before the people at the fun shack told me that off was the direction I could... Because we've been there ages, and I've only bought two lattes, right? And I still got my youngest son back for football training at 5 o'clock.
Hey.
I was just like, good dad day, feeling good, feeling great, etc. And then my little Spotify notification came in. Like, well, Bond talks about SmackDown. I was like, right, I love yous both. We've had a wonderful day. One for the photo album. I could have been reviewing... Bloodline 2.0.
Yes.
I'm going to have to wait till Friday to talk about it with Wilborn. So I just sent them both to the bedrooms and we didn't speak for the rest of the night.
Yeah, I unsurprisingly loved last week's SmackDown, and the SmackDown review this week was rather biased. I had no one to even stop me on my wild takes, but we'll get your thoughts on...
You would do that because I was privileged. You wouldn't have seen me there, actually. I was privileged to see you doing NXT Stand and Deliver Ups and Downs.
Yes.
Well, we didn't catch up, did we? You dodged. You do this. You dodged off.
I had to nip out for something.
And you didn't know that I was there in the crowd.
Uh-huh.
And somebody had to pick up the microphone because Stax was there. So I'm not going to leave Stax hanging. So I went and had a chat with Stax. He was like, I've got other business to attend to. Tony D's lost. And then sure enough, you appeared again.
Yeah.
So like...
As you probably saw on NXT this week, shout out to Reese at WrestleMania on
great
X.
Name. Great name.
Who shared the fact that their video got played on NXT. And then I realized, wait a second, that's me.
Yeah.
It's from the NXT Ups and Downs with us chatting Whoop That Trick.
A well-deserved spot on that show. I like to think as a team, we've all worked hard to back this brand for several years for a moment like that. But yeah, I very much enjoyed that video they did. And I thought sometimes we are accused on this podcast of having our biases. It goes everywhere. It goes to WWE, it goes to AEW, for that matter, anything else we praise or criticise. But I thought, having sat through that show myself, for you to give the five or six main card matches?
Mm, five, Six.
Well, yeah. Six. I think it was six.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, the six matches, all golden ups, was a rare example of nobody being able to argue that you'd been balanced and fair.
Mm.
So, in your defence, if you were a little bit biased on the SmackDown Review on Monday, you were due one.
Mm.
You'd earned that one, because you'd had to stay neutral for so much of WrestleMania weekend. Anyone that watches your coverage knows that. So you were due that one on Monday. I'm glad you got your moment.
Well,
to get a bit silly.
I am sad to announce, to burst our bubble somewhat, the WrestleMania dip has officially started, Hamflet. Tonight's Friday Night SmackDown comes from the PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh.
There's a lot of alliteration there.
Uh-huh. PA, of course.
They're back in Pennsylvania just 2 weeks after, yep.
And you know how they've been, you know, getting ridiculous numbers to venues.
Yeah.
They've only distributed 12,499 tickets for tonight's show.
R.I.P. in peace to the Fed. It was a hell of a run.
Look at that, Matt. Look how big that is. They had to open up extra sections.
Big ass extreme bash in Pennsylvania. You've got to, we're not doing this just to toast the numbers specifically, but WWE is hot, WWE is good, and you absolutely have to celebrate these moments while you're in them.
Yes.
I said this clutching every one of my pearls in 2021 when every single Wednesday AEW was the new best show I've ever seen was this week's Dynamite. And I was like, live and breathe in every moment of this because it just does not last. It's happening right now. I personally believe it happened for the bulk of 2023, but I sense that they have expanded even beyond a lot of people that were just blissfully happy with WWE every week to a point where, like, WrestleMania has sort of left this feeling in the air where a lot of people that typically maybe wouldn't be as swayed by, I don't know, like Triple H's summer plotting or 100 Judgment Day tag matches, like, it seems to have cast a spell, doesn't it, WrestleMania at the moment? And it seems like I'm going to be back on there soon enough because I miss it all the time. But as you know, post-WrestleMania, I kind of have to lift myself from Twitter a bit. Otherwise, I kind of don't speak to my family. I just want to live in the post-WrestleMania of it all. So I haven't been on X. But my cousin, who is increasingly featuring on these podcasts that we do, you will have seen him if you followed any of my misadventures in WrestleMania. We went to WrestleMania together. He's been sending me loads of the tweets because he's been addicted to the individual hashtags of the WWE house shows. They were in Birmingham.
Oh, yes.
His hometown, West Midlands, is the best Midlands. And they were there in Birmingham on Wednesday for Cody Rhodes' first ever title defense. They were in Cardiff last night. They will be in Belfast tomorrow. Yes, I did price up the flights, but the show was sold out. So tough titty said the kitty. And these house shows. Apparently, Cody has hired his own private car to get around because he knows how long he's going to spend after the show's talking and signing stuff. He spent 50 minutes in Birmingham.
Wow.
After the show went off the air, signing things, taking pictures. He loves it. He loves it. I've seen clips of Jey Uso's entrance at a house show. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A four-way opener for the Intercontinental title with Gunther and Gable and Sammy and Finn.
Oh, my God.
It's just the best.
It is.
It's the best. These are the best times. They won't last forever. We could be doing this podcast in as little as 6 months. And sometimes the bloom just falls off the rose. Bookers reach their creative peak, and then you kind of have to observe the slow slide down. I just love luxuriating in it. It's magic. I raged against the idea that in 2021 it was a good time to be a wrestling fan. You might recall that.
Oh yeah,
I raged against it because I watched Raw every week. I know this to be false. You are lying to me. You are lying to yourself, and you are lying to others. It was great to have people back in the building. It was great on Wednesdays. It was pretty good on Fridays for a bit, for an hour a shot, right?
We're just texting each other. It's still good.
Yeah.
Haven't messed up Bayley and Sasha just yet.
Yeah, but it was not a great time to be a fan overall. It's still not a great time to be a fan overall, I would argue, because I don't think Wednesdays are as satisfying as they could be.
No.
I don't think AEW fans as a whole are blissfully pleased, but it is a great time to enjoy the fruits of WWE's labor. A fantastic time, maybe the best time ever. I'm like grappling with this because I'm very, very tied emotionally to the first wrestling I saw in 1990. I'm extremely loyal to the new generation because I was there and nobody else was. I love the Attitude Era, but so did a lot of the dickheads at school that jumped on the bandwagon. So I've always resented the Attitude Era a little bit. And then 20 years, it was grim. So like, Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, I prayed 20 years for this. and it happened. Like, I'm pretty much class at the castle to now. People love defining the eras, don't they? This is what I'm doing. I'm willing to start this trend, right? Clash at the Castle 2022 to present day, and we'll just see how long we can stretch that present day. This is the era. A lot of people are naming it. Call it Paul Levesque if you want. Cody's trademark, the Renaissance era.
Yeah.
I kind of hate all that stuff. Right, just watch it for what it is and then look back and be like, oh, that was a boom era. That was a golden era. But it's a boom. It is absolutely a boom. And we never thought, when WWE made the brand the story and made the brand the leading character, and you can say it was John Cena, but the man vomited up the brand every time he spoke. You never imagined there would be another like business boom.
No.
Like, they've just normalized fine, and it's never going to excite you again. It's just that Big Mac was fine.
Yes.
Like, I'm never going to go nuts for a Big Mac like we did the brisket in Dallas, right?
Mm.
But a Big Mac's good. That was going to be WWE on its best day.
Exactly.
I was like, that was a good Big Mac. Like, no. They've added brisket to the Big Mac. In my case, they've scraped away the ketchup and the gherkins as the stuff I hate and just like added more patties. Like, they've just added more burgers. And it's like, huh, thanks, Fed. I am well fed. 24 hours pass. More, please.
Yeah. Well, you say this is the best time. I think, personally, the best time is going to be tomorrow for me. tomorrow, I wake up, usual routine of wake up, obviously watch SmackDown first thing before I kiss my wife or attend to my child.
That's probably my favourite system of a down lyric.
Going to cut the lawns tomorrow for the first time.
Nice, there he is.
Eric on the shoulders whilst I do it. It's probably a bit dangerous,
it's
actually.
It's a very Saturday dad day, that, isn't it? Like, very much so.
You know, when I first looked at the calendar, I thought, oof, 20th of April, last day of the season for the National League, could all come down to this. I could be biting my fingernails down and not doing that because we won the league in March, mate. First team to win their league in England.
March Madness. It was bloody crazy that Chesterfield wrapped up that early.
And they've just been on the piss since then because we lost every single game. So I'll be just feet up. What happens. We've won the league already, so not bothered. Ali McCoy's not the only big fan of AC/DC doing the rounds this week. So am I, because Chesterfield are back in black. Michael Hamflett, that's on your away kit.
Speaking of which.
I'm just doing this for Brian. You know what to first shot my head on in a bit.
Yeah, Brian. Like
me, cutting the lawn with my new Chesterfield shirt on. And just to conclude what I was talking about there. So do that, cut the lawn. And, what should I do in the evening? Oh, wait, it's 4:20. I'm sure I'll find something to do.
Wait a minute, yeah. It's the 20th of April. What do I know about the 20th of April? The 20th of April is 10 days before my birthday. The 20th of April is one day after the 19th of April, which in 1992 was the first WWE live show I ever attended. UK Rampage Tour, Sheffield Arena. Brett and Rick Martel, Bulldog and IRS in the main event. Didn't like the Bulldog, booed him, whatever, get over it. Andy Savage defended the world title against Shawn Michaels.
What?
Bit of a hidden gem. Skinner in the opener against Tatanka. Shout out Andrew Pollard. 20th of April. It's not. If you put it on a t-shirt, it wouldn't be like Austin 316, like 16th of March. Austin 4:20. That doesn't mean I just kicked your ass. I don't know.
I just smoked your ass.
What's that?
Just I'm looking forward to. Gladiator isn't on anymore, is it?
No, they said. Like, I was thinking like Saturday Night Entertainment has gone to the dogs again until Gladiators comes back for season two. By the way, they filmed that in Birmingham. Should we get on the website and apply for tickets and take like the wives and kids down for a weekend?
To take part?
God no! Like, imagine those two trying to run through Gauntlet. You know, like, everyone gets past Viper pretty easy. Like the Dirty Little Secret Gladiators, like Viper's a good heel but a bad gladiator.
Yeah,
The first people that he ever takes down are us.
both of us in a headlock. Let go!
Can we get some content out of it? Should we see where? We went down and got our asses f***ing hammered by the gladiators. 10 times, it was really funny. A laugh at the idiots from what culture?
But I mentioned the Mighty Sparta, right? It's not just because we won the league in March, as I said. And open top bus tour on Sunday as well.
Oh, yeah.
Staple. Our good friend, Lee, from Lean Gate Valves, has been in touch.
My favourite valves. I've said that.
shout out to Lee, by the way, because he genuinely has tried to get me tickets to the final game of the season.
Oh, what a legend.
But obviously, they are gold dust.
People need to know that our begs on these podcasts are always in jest, but it's then always amazing when people randomly follow
exactly.
through. It's quite incredible.
But Lee's been on. Fresh off of, by the way, giving out the Player of the Year. No, an award at the Player of Year Awards to Super Tom Naylor.
Wow. He's one of those. I love those people.
Yeah.
As presented by Lee from Lean Gate Valves.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh.
But Lee also contacted me earlier on this week saying, when we get the fixtures out for League Two, we'll have a look and sort out a game where you, me,
yeah,
and Hamflet can both attend and then enjoy the ever-changing pub scene in Chesterfield after. You never know, we could draw Sunderland in the League Cup.
Oh, my God. And by the way, I don't even need the Sunderland element of it because I'd be in the Chesterfield end.
Yeah.
Lee, yes.
We're talking to him. Here's another one for you, Brian. Talking to him about a infamous Chesterfield bar called The Beach.
Right, yeah.
Which was like...
A lot of towns have had a beach in their time, haven't they? We all know what's going on there. Yeah. I used to love working in bars. Loved it. But I would never work at beach because it was always like, right, tops off.
Mm.
And you would see these absolute hunks behind the bar. It's like, I'm never going to work here.
Yeah.
Ever.
Do you know the last time I was in there, guess who I bumped into?
Oh, I know this. Can I have three guesses?
Yeah.
Because I've got one, but I don't think it's him, but I feel like it's going to stay in there. And Joseph Corners.
Hang on.
No, dear, that's wrong.
You're on the right.
It's WCPW, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to throw away a guess, but I was just, for some reason, Minoru Suzuki popped in my head. Big Damo.
No, dear, that's wrong.
No, it isn't. Gabriel Kidd.
Hang on. Wait a second.
Bingo!
What the hell are you doing here, mate? Great to see him, by the way. He's doing fantastic stuff, Gabe Kidd.
He is.
Yeah, beach is the one you might have gone to when you were slightly underage get served when you're on a night out in Chesterfield.
Best places.
But it's also the one with the speedboat in the middle of the bar.
Yeah.
And now, when I last went in, just a bit of scaffolding, I think. Do you want to stand up there? Well, it doesn't seem very safe. Well, a bit of scaffolding with it? Yeah, that should do it.
Get your picture with the scaffolding.
So, yeah, we'll take you around the sights of Chesterfield next season.
Love it. Brian, if you can be arsed, and I wouldn't judge you if you couldn't, we being Sunderland, have just signed a new kit deal with Hummel, who make the coolest clothes anyway.
They're nice, them, yeah.
But there's law. Hummel were our kit suppliers between, like, I want to say it was like 88 and about 92, 93. Effectively, the first Sunderland shirts I ever owned were Hummel ones. So I've got like the deepest nostalgia for the Hummel range. And they've released the first jacket. And I'm quite proud of the work that my, you might have seen it on podcast before, my dual sleeved Adidas jacket has done for me.
Oh, yeah.
In basically covering how fat titted I am. But like Matt Raines bought one to go with the Hamflet head on a stick, flat hammy. Legendarily, of course. Travis wore one to a dynamite in order to take an anti-Hamflet sign. That jacket has maybe seen its last days. I had an idea the other day. I'm going to be doing some fundraising for a cause quite close to me later this year. And I did mull over putting it online as a fundraiser to sell the jacket. But basically Hummel have released, if you Google now, Hummel, I might have shown this in the office, Hummel 1992 Sunderland jacket. People will be seeing this on the channel soon because I am basically going to live in this thing until the threads start falling out of the armpits.
Oh,
that's the noise I wanted to hear.
Wow.
It's from our FA Cup 92 team walked out to it at Wembley.
On Judgment Day.
No, on the Eastside because it says Hummel on the back. But yeah, it's everything I love about a jacket like that and the fact that it's like deeply rooted in nostalgia of some of the first Sunderland stuff I ever remember. So, Brian, if you can be asked and you want to put my head on that jacket, you'd be very welcome because you'll be seeing the real-life version of it soon enough.
Just double-checking that, by the way. Lee gave out the Player of the Year award at the Player
of
the Year Awards. Big time.
Yeah. So, basically, one of our listeners is kind of like the biggest player in the Valve scene in the Chesterfield area. Like, should we start trying to, like, should we put a map up in the office and like start putting pins in it where we need to get connections like Lee, basically, to do like a sort of like kind of cover off the entire 92 league clubs now that you're back in league football.
Oh.
Get one everywhere.
You know, whatever FIFA's called next season.
Yeah.
I have to get it now.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be on it, of course.
Oh.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
What are we talking about?
Oh, yeah, should we talk about SmackDown?
Go on, then.
That's probably an idea, isn't it? Yeah.
People don't really like it when we do SmackDown talk, but we'll do a bit, I suppose, for the hardcore.
We were joking earlier about, like, the WrestleMania lull and what have you, and it always used to be a thing of, like, back to it, is it?
Origin story for our nonsense is because there was never anything to talk about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they are keeping that ball rolling. The Raw and SmackDowns after WrestleMania, I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. You know, they're never going to be the Raw and SmackDowns after Mania from a few years back where there was no competition, so you could sign any of the biggest names and just debut them on the Raw after Mania. But I thought they did a really good job.
They kind of did it with one on SmackDown.
Well, granted, yeah. But also, you had... this sense that, yeah, WWE, they used to just, like you say, the lull isn't just a natural occurrence. If you just give up, then, yeah, of course people stop watching. If you keep trying, people are like, oh, maybe I'll stick around.
Yep.
And they've put big matches, you know, number one contenders matches and what have you on the subsequent shows. And tonight, we're getting the women's world title being defended on the show. I assumed when Naomi beat Tiffany Stratton last week... which I think kind of corrects everything that or plays into, you know, what happened a few months back when it was like, oh, Naomi's just come in and lost.
Yeah.
Weird. Uh-huh. But it's like, it's all right. She's doing trio stuff. She's in this mega trio. More on them in a bit, by the way.
That really helped her.
And now, oh, correct, right's the wrong on her insistence. I'm not just getting the title shot. I have to beat Tiff first.
Babyface.
Does that, yeah, wins. And I thought it was just going to be a backlash. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that might be, a bit, you know, babyface versus babyface. But it's tonight, Naomi versus Bayley for the WWE Women's title.
I'm kind of glad they're doing it as well. I don't want to... actually, I do. Right. I was going to say I don't want to get on a soapbox, but I sort of do.
Yeah.
There was a discussion in the office this morning, so I apologise if I've completely grossly misrepresented what has actually gone on. But I understand that Dave Meltzer irritated a lot of the NXT locker room by saying that, like, Trick Williams and Tatum Paxley weren't very good.
Bless that.
Right. Now... two things here, two conversations, right? If somebody online was like, Adam Wilborn's a complete arsehole, despite my like sort of feeling of like, right, they're onto us, I would fight for you in an online public space.
Thank you.
Without a second thought, I'd be like, you're wrong and you're a grotesquely ugly freak, right? That man is a broadcast professional. He makes it look easy when I know for a fact it is very, very difficult. God, he puts the graft in. But they would be entitled to think that.
Mm.
And that's where I sit with Dave Meltzer offering reasoned and rational criticisms of pro wrestlers.
Yeah.
We've touched upon this, haven't we, on these podcasts, there has felt like a bit of a change in the air where we review wrestling and yet sometimes can't review the wrestlers.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've said it. Trick Williams, not a good wrestler. Don't care.
Mm.
Right? Do not care. Stood inside Wells Fargo going, whoop that trick with everybody else. Wish I could be doing it again every Tuesday night in Florida. Love him. He's got the intangibles down. The rest can come.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, the matches aren't there yet. Not really. Like, Tatum Paxley, that character trait, we say it like that without giving it a second thought because it's dumb.
Yes.
Because going back years and years and years, WWE have tried and failed to make these characters make sense in modern times. Right? It was a bit laughable in 1994 when Yokozuna opened up the curtain because the 10 guys that came down to help him were still being stopped by the Dead Man. And then he opened up the urn and the green power flowed from the urn. And it was like, now the Undertaker's gone weak because green smoke is coming out. Now it makes sense, right? Even in 1994, it's like, and I'm nine, so I'm thinking, well, this is the greatest thing I've ever
obviously,
seen.
Yeah,
but then you read back what the adults in the room thought and they were like, kind of stupid. Well, by the Undertaker's point, but this is kind of stupid. So he's not like... He's not being unreasonable to suggest the gimmick is dumb and it's not being performed particularly well. It doesn't matter that we might think it's really funny and enjoy it for the silliness on our NXT reviews. He's very entitled to think this. But I get why the NXT wrestlers are going, leave our friend alone.
Yeah.
Both can be true. Both can absolutely be true. This brings me to Naomi. Sorry, I went the long way around there. This brings me to Naomi, who almost immediately, but especially at Elimination Chamber, I had this like feeling of, and I said it, on podcast, I'm not like some. I don't think I'm like this controversial take haver. I was like, I think she's been outclassed. I think in ring wise, she was never bad.
No,
she was occasionally great, but consistently she was just good.
Yeah,
no problem with being just good, by the way. But the great performances were few and far between. But she was a good hand, really great utility player, occasional champion, probably her best as champion. Like elevated her, and she elevated the belt.
Yeah.
And she put lights on it and looked cool.
Oh.
Right, great aesthetics. But in the Elimination Chamber specifically, I was like, number one, Tiffany Stratton is kind of outworking everybody here with the exception of Bianca Belair. Everybody. And so I include like Liv Morgan in that. There are other people, you know.
Yeah.
And then Naomi's TV match, I was just like, I really wish they'd not Death Rebelled her music. And I really wish they'd not had her been beaten so easily and like marginalized her signing. You know, like how much did Triple H as a booker and SmackDown general manager, can't remember his name, as a character work to sign Jade Cargill? Versus Naomi just walking out of a cupboard. I'm signed. Like, you're showing me what matters and what doesn't.
Exactly,
there.
Yeah.
I wasn't that high on any of it. And then the big three instantly helped Naomi. Credit. Yeah. I'm going to start. Naomi, Saraya, Saraya, Naomi, 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 Naomi. The big three really helped her credibility. Like, instantly, it was like, oh, yeah, she is a massive star.
Yeah.
She absolutely belongs with these other two massive stars. Doesn't feel like she's cheating this at all. Same level. And now she's getting Bayley. This has been a very, very quick course correction. And I want to praise that because I think she will lose tonight. But I think it's important to know.
Shenanigans or no?
No. I think Bayley will beat her clean. Bayley's a babyface again. I suppose you could have a new rival of the big three have something to do with it. But why?
Damage control, yeah.
Yeah, why? Like, just have Bayley win because Bayley's a great wrestler. And she's won the title in a great wrestling match with a clean finish at WrestleMania. And that's so intrinsic for the Bayley babyface character to just be credible again. The whole deal about turning babyface when it felt a bit rushed was like, I was taking those shortcuts because I thought it was the way to go when all along I should have just trusted my own ability.
Yeah.
So we're telling that story. They had a not terrible match in pretty terrible circumstances. Do you remember when they had to put T-shirt over singlets?
I remember they finished that.
With a crowd that did not care and did not want to watch. And the finish with the T-shirt was so inspired.
Class, yeah.
They were applying thought to it. The match was, again, getting nothing in the building. But I think they have got the chemistry within them to cook something up here.
I agree.
I think this could be like a good bit of business. Maybe not one like... that everybody's going to pay like loads of lip service to. But if you're kind of watching anyway, do the Lenny from The Simpsons lean in. Because I just think they're going to offer you. I love this about Bayley being back on top. I love, on my Twitter header, somebody coined a phrase once on X. And I was like, oh, it's me. Thank you. It's me forever. An extravagance of blandness. Right? Describes a lot of my food tastes, a lot of my fed tastes. Mm-hmm. Some would argue it describes a lot of my music tastes. They're wrong. But ultimately, that I like loads and loads of the stuff I like, even if the stuff I like is the stuff I've always had.
Right? Yes.
And Bailey as a champion is that.
Mm.
Sometimes the match is not as scintillating as that of a Sasha Banks / Mercedes Mané. Her stadium record is middling as opposed to a Becky Lynch or a Bianca Belair.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love the consistency. I wish my football team was as consistent as a Bailey. Like, I wish that, like, life was as smooth as a Bailey title run. Like, you know those champions that make you feel like everything is settled in the world?
Yes.
Like, Bailey as a world champion makes me feel that way. You mentioned the pandemic
Bailey
one.
Bailey and Cody. Oh, just like, oh, cool, everything's fine.
Yeah, oh, good, stop. Pause the world. Pause the world and let's live here forever. Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, I'd watch pay-per-views and, like, sometimes I'd think, wait a second, is this the best pay-per-view ever?
Yeah.
Because all of my favourites had won all the matches.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't affect it, but for me, I know I can just always go back and watch this. Happy, 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 happy. Oh, it's finished.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Bailey on top, like, of WWE is my, like, sort of grown-up version of that.
Yeah.
Like, I know it to be, like, all ever-changing. But it's a nice feeling.
I think there will be shenanigans probably post-match because Backlash is, what, 2 and a bit weeks away?
But she might not work it. Like, they keep these B-shows pretty trim.
I'd get on with Dakota Kai or someone else from Damage Control challenging her again.
Dakota Kai, first.
I know this is the first title defense, but easy first pay-per-view title defense of Io's rematch, Dakota stepping up, Asuka, I don't know, but...
Io, there's Backlash law with Bailey and Io because if you remember, last year Io told her not to interfere. And she did it anyway. And Io won?
Yeah.
She didn't win the title there. She retained it at Backlash last year, if
you're
I recall.
Right.
But yeah. Or did she win it? Did she win the title at Backlash or did she simply retain it? Either way, she'd asked Bailey not to interfere and Bailey did. And Dakota was like, oh, should we be doing this?
Oh, she didn't win.
She didn't win.
She fought Bianca Belair and lost.
That was what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Quick word on Naomi's former partners, the new tag team mega powers.
Yeah.
Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. I was so happy when Chelsea Green was out there and like, oh, thank goodness I'm not going to have a singles match with Jade Cargill. Me and Piper Niven are out here. Who have you got for us? SmackDown General Manager, I can't remember what his name is. And I thought, they're not going to, are they? I've never been so excited for a relatively randomly put together tag team to split. They're going to be awesome. They're going to dethrone Damage Control.
Yep.
And then hopefully by about SummerSlam, they're going to split, aren't they?
I don't even think it's going to be that soon. I think they might, in the new tradition of Triple H basically showing you a WrestleMania match ages away. Dominic Mysterio versus Rey Mysterio, Jimmy versus Jey Uso, quality has been mixed. I think this could be WrestleMania next year.
Wow.
So they, like, Jade gets her first big WrestleMania moment as Bianca Belair's partner, and you've put this into my head by calling them the Mega Powers, because that's exactly what they did with Hogan and Savage. Savage shot his first jealous glare at Hogan at WrestleMania 4 as he just won the title. 1 year later, Mega Powers, business. Oh, my God. I think they could do this with these two. I think they win the belts, maybe not a Backlash, maybe Clash at the Castle, maybe Bash at Berlin. The Saudi Arabia show would be making quite the point.
Yeah.
If they were to win the belts there. They win the belts.
And they could surprise everyone by having Bianca be the one to turn.
Yeah. Same. SummerSlam.
She shot that look at Jay when she first showed up and was like, well, I do that move.
Well, the whole, if you recall, like the whole coming together of these has been inclusive of Bianca Belair, like baring her fangs a little bit as it relates to Bailey.
Yeah.
So, like, all like their origin stories involved Bianca, be like, well, you can help her, but I'm not getting involved. Like, I've been up and down these roads a little bit. I respect the business. Like, I've been up and down the roads a little bit longer to know what goes on here. So, basically, they're kind of casting Bianca Belair as a veteran. While, like, her and Jade are, like, identical in so many respects, but Bianca's already kind of seen and done it all. That's the story they're telling. So, I would fully expect, I think they could win the belts as late as SummerSlam.
The perfect storm.
The perfect storm.
Because Bianca Belair is perfect. And the storm's coming.
Indeed. With all this booking, I think I'm the one that's coming. But like, they win the tag belts at SummerSlam. They split in time for a WrestleMania singles match. I think, like, no rush, but they are the team to beat Damage Control. They are.
Absolutely.
And it's cool. It is really cool. They've already got matching gear.
Yes.
Like, everything is class about this straight off. And the fact that I think all of us, reasonably so, booked the singles match because of the Royal Rumble spot and instead we're doing the tag first. This is that plotting that I adore so much about WWE. They showed us the singles match. Like, this goes, I know.
Predictable isn't always bad. This is what I always say.
I know we labour on this example all the time, and I think partially it's because we like to take victory laps over it. But from the friggin' day that Santos Escobar walked into Ray's locker room with the mask, saying, like, I'll be your son. Mm. We're like, well, that's going to be a brutal heel turn one day. Like, yes. Yes, please.
Speaking of which, there is a mystery going on SmackDown because, as you saw in last week's SmackDown, they were chatting to Santos Escobar before his triple threat match. Uh-huh. And they were like, you know, didn't go your way. And he's like, well, I always have a plan. They're like, well, yeah, obviously, you know, you thought you got the best of it because you took out Dragon Lee and then Andrade took his place. And he was like, I've done some terrible things. I didn't attack Dragon Lee. And then later on, like, the LWO there are like, yeah. One of them in particular, yeah. Well, he would say that probably, wouldn't he? But I have a big question for you. And take as long as you need on this, Mike Wanfler.
All right.
Who attacked Dragon Lee?
Carlito.
Yeah, of course it is. It's really obvious, but it's going to be great when it's revealed.
Yeah.
That, like, oh, bloody hell, Dragon Lee's held back. Oh, God. Oh, I've been attacked. I don't know why he's still suffering the attack weeks later. Oh, God, and I'm still in the exact same gear. Oh, well, bloody hell, I've got a lump on the back of my head. Oh, what's that? Wait a second. That's not, I can move a bit. What's that? That's a slice of apple.
The smoking gun.
A trail of apple, what they call pips.
Yeah. I'd like to introduce a gumshoe detective. She's been in the game a long time. She's going to crack this case. She's Granny Smith. She's, why is she wearing Bret Hart's colours? It's because she's a pink lady. All of them.
Golden Delicious.
Apple stuff. There should be, you know, like the masked assailant, right? But it should be, you know, like sometimes they've got like the hair attachments. There should be a gap at the back and like Carlito's afro just bursts out of the mask. Just have it like, wait a second.
Yeah, I love that. We've seen it. We've got a silhouette of the attacker. We just can't work out who it is. Carlito.
It'd be a really funny framing though, wouldn't it? Like, it's not me. Where it looks like it, pal. And then it turns out they've had a mask made with the hair on. Yeah, it's Carlito. And fine as well. Like,
absolutely.
I really like that shot just before WrestleMania. And I got my partner right here. It's in that rich, like, history.
Did it twice to him? Like, he's complete. It's always the thing. He's completely justified. You want to fight me at WrestleMania? You're on. And I've got a partner. And he's like, you sure do, pal. I've been here fighting your fights whilst you've been off injured. And Dragon Lee. And he's like, oh. And then Dragon Lee gets taken out. He's like, okay, now it's time.
T-Pain. It's like, do you remember there? It's maybe my favourite of these, but like it was going somewhere. Do you remember like the Saraya, Tony Storm, who was it? Hikaru Shida.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, me, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was all about ultimately they were going to turn heel and form the Outcast. So he was like, you were supposed to think, they kind of come across as like real bad guys there.
Yeah.
But she was like, yeah, anyway, thanks. See you later.
Speaking of Outcast, by the way, congratulations to Ruby Soho and Angelo Parker.
That's nice, isn't it?
As I said on the news, I genuinely didn't realise they were shoot actually dating. It wasn't just a storyline in AEW, but lovely for them. Really great news that Ruby's pregnant.
Will that make Saraya's brother like even more annoyed? Now I've definitely lost my chance with her. Or whatever's going on at that start.
I don't know. Anyway, let's talk Cody Rhodes.
Why not?
Amazing photo.
Man's in Belfast tomorrow. I wish I was.
Yeah. I have tweeted at Adam Wilborn on X a photo I've just seen doing the rounds and, a collection of photos I've really been enjoying recently. One of them featuring Cody Rhodes looking like a god, basically, with the belt on and doing, whoa. But tonight we find out who his first challenge is going to be because he had the two triple threats last week. The winners of that face each other tonight. And what do you know? It's a WrestleMania rematch. It's AJ Styles versus LA Knight.
Yeah.
And also another shout out to LA Knight. If you might have seen that lovely video of him meeting a fan and just making his day, make his birthday actually, making his life.
Oh, amazing.
I think it's like the tail end of Mania maybe. I don't know. They're on some sort of bus and this kid is just marking out. It's lovely to watch. A shout out to LA Knight for that one.
I need to see that. I love that stuff.
But he's not winning tonight, is he?
No, he's not. No.
Styles is a perfect first opponent for Cody.
He's a work rate Kane. They put AJ Styles against Roman Reigns in that unbelievable series in 2016. You remember it when
yes.
it was like...
When you're like, wait a second, is Roman Reigns all right?
Yeah, is this going to turn out okay? And it was like, no, but these two have got electric chemistry and AJ was only 4 months in. So it was like, hey, I'm leaving my foot on the gas until I win the belt.
Did Seth show up immediately after that? Or was that a different show I'm getting confused with?
No, yeah, that was it.
Because it was like, do you know what, actually? I think Roman Reigns is going to be pretty good as a babyface if he fights people like this, because this was really enjoyable. Wait a second, Seth Rollins is here. Never mind.
He got that enormous return pop to the next night in the Raw they had to add. And I hated each and every one
of you.
Thanks, Seth. I forget it then, I suppose.
There's a list in that, isn't there? Oh, that okay. one, Becky's one, if you remember.
Becky's was the worst one. Like, yeah, you cheered me, but you didn't buy my merchandise, camera pans to people wearing last kicks. Yeah, you bought my merchandise, but... this is sort of an inspired choice. I don't think AJ Styles is good, but he can be. That's and fine, by the way. He's a man in his 40s that like put his body through unbelievable rigors in his 20s and 30s. Phenomenal was for real for such a long time.
Yes.
Like I found him to be like around sort of 2002, 2003 when I was watching TNA on the Wrestling Channel in the UK. He was my favourite wrestler. Like, I felt like I was watching the future of the business as opposed to, like, Triple H's Reign of Terror on SmackDown. I was like, oh, here it is. This is, like, this is what wrestling should be. And WWE are nowhere near it. And then, you know, following an incredible, almost against the odds, incredible New Japan run, I think he has pumped the brakes in WWE. This is, like, if you look at it on balance, what are we in now, 2024, an eight-year run... has mostly been for the money than the love.
He was WWE champion for over a year, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's phoned it in.
No.
But I just think if you look at it in totality, more of it has been, well, these are my like massive earning years and I want to earn more money and take less bumps. The dream of a wrestler entering the kind of like autumn of his career. So I don't hold it against AJ Styles. But last week, more so than WrestleMania, was a reminder of his wrestler brain knowing how and when to do things.
Yeah.
And like, and I'm not...
Super Styles Clash, an Avalanche Styles Clash, whatever it's called.
Yeah, and like, I'm not even just referring to the spots of which there were loads. It's that mindset of like, if you insert a certain thing that you can do better than anybody else at just the right time, people instantly remember what it was you once brought to the table and take you seriously. Mm. And he's so good at that. He's so, so good at that. I don't think he's ever really had a great WrestleMania match, but I think he deserves way more credit than he gets for the Shane McMahon one.
Yeah, and this one with LA Knight was as good as Samoa Joe and CM Punk are all in, according to Dave Meltzer. So,
it was, yeah.
We're poking you and Andy with that stick today.
Yeah, it was all right, right? I will say, like, as far as LA Knight match goes, I wasn't disappointed in the building at all. Like,
I think they did it very well in terms of timings as well.
Timing, pacing, placement on the card. My intended toilet break was a total success. Like, everything went
right. I was too busy. Yeah, I was having to punch you through.
That was it. I went through the entrances, like, waiting for him to do the first, like, 10 punches of the God of the Earth. Now, like, get back. And the commentary was playing in the box, by the way. So I was, like, fully aware of, like, AJ's headlock sequence. And it was like, I'm good. I'm good, which is good because it takes me a while at one of them big troughs, get a bit of shy cock, get a bit nervous. So I could listen to the commentary. So I like AJ Styles will be perfect for Cody because you will never believe that in his first PLE title defense, Cody Rhodes is going to lose the belt. But you will have the type of match that will make you glad that Cody's on top.
Here's a question for you, not to piss on your bonfire and don't get too down about it. And I think they could play a good role in all this, despite your preconceptions. Gallows and Anderson getting involved?
I don't hate it. Like,
it would add an element. You're never going to buy that AJ Styles wins the title, but he's just lost to LA Knight. I know he's going to beat him here, but tipping the scales in his favour.
What is going on in here?
I never know, man.
Good brothers. Reunite with AJ Styles, just as run-in heel guys. They don't need to be great. They just need to cheat with him, right? So they start running interference with AJ Styles. They can't get the job done, but like for a couple of weeks, it looks like Cody could be in real bother. There's a little bit of lore because it was like, Bullet Club, we'll tell you something about Bullet Club.
Yeah.
You know, you kiss the fingers every now and then, but like we started all that, the whole deal. So you do that sort of thing. Like it's, you know, nobody's really talking about AJ and Cody as like, they'll do it, Michael Cole, though. They were both once leaders of a stable in Japan, a certain kind of club, isn't that right, Corey? They'll do that. They will, obviously. But, like, So that's sort of kicking around a little bit in the ether.
Mm-hmm.
Cody gets the win. And but nonetheless, it's Cody, right? So like he's not a thick baby face, and he like maybe has friends that want to help him. He's like, Cody keeps getting beat down 3-on-1. Like, who's going to be there for him? Well, Jey Uso, obviously, right? But like, it's still 3-on-2.
Uh-huh.
Hypothetically, if Jey Uso needs a partner to finally take on and defeat a pair of good brothers.
Oh, careful now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And the what would effectively be a squash, let's be honest. If he's needing somebody, like there's a handicap situation going on, and like the good brother's just beating on him, and then like, down since day one. And that's Jimmy's return. And he comes out and makes a save. And it's like Kevin and Sammy at Elimination Chamber, where he makes a save because it was the right thing to do. But it's not as simple as friends.
Yeah.
Like then you rebuild to them coming together, and the first big coming together is at the expense of the good brothers. Because stick with me here, Jimmy and Jey Uso are brothers.
Ah! Oh.
Slight live show spoiler. Despite what Andy Murray thought in your quiz, they did not come out of their mother 8 seconds apart. We had to do some education on childbirth after the fact.
Oh, brother.
But yeah, that would be the first way in which you could, and we're going to come up with 20 of these. That would be the first way in which you could introduce the reunion of the Usos, which feels like a very 2024 thing, doesn't it?
Andy also has a phenomenal pitch for this on our roster trades that must happen for the draft, okay, which is coming out as a YouTube video later on today. And it will be out as a podcast over the weekend as well, if you just want to listen to that. Sticking with tag teams, actually. Number one contenders match tonight. See who faces Ate and Dan Ander, who had a fun... I loved that vignette last week. I thought it was brilliant. Grayson Waller's been trolling on social media or in interviews and what have you all week and getting some pathetic responses from Dax Harwood, in my opinion. But anyway, to face Ate and Dan Ander, you have Authors of Pain, who are busy in NXT, so we can kind of disregard them.
Yep.
Legado del Fantasma, New Catch Republic, and the Street Profits.
Is this for television or for Backlash?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
I would assume Backlash.
Yeah.
Because you're only, what is it, 2 weeks on Sunday? Is that right? Hang on, I've got it in my calendar.
That's close, yeah.
This weekend, 4:20. Next weekend, I've got a baptism. Saturday, 4th of May, Backlash. 3-day weekend as well. Bank holiday in the UK.
That's just after my birthday. That could be like, I could use that as an excuse to be like, well, I've got to watch Backlash and disappear for 3 days. Happy birthday to me.
Bon anniversaire.
What about if, as the troll heels that they are, what about if nobody wins this because Waller and Theory sort of interfere? It gets thrown out. They don't want that. They've tried that thing, but this time it's actually worked, right? It's like, instead of the SmackDown GM coming out and being like, well, now you're going to be in a 5-way, dickheads. Like, they're like SmackDown GM's like, oh, this is actually a bit of an, I can't book a 5-way.
Mm-hmm.
You've won this round, I'll get you next time. And then like Waller and Theory are like high on their own supply thinking, great, like we get a PLE off, we don't really want to be fighting champions, this couldn't have gone any better. And then unbeknownst to them, like SmackDown GM gets a knock at his door. And somebody's like, I mean, if they're open, I'll take the match. And I've got a partner. And the SmackDown GM's like, perfect. I was looking to give you your first SmackDown branded PLE, and I'd love you to work.
Don't make me do it.
Austin Theory, Grayson Waller.
Please.
Defend the tag team titles. Go on. In France against Le Wolf Dogs.
Oh my God.
Because as we know, it's a hometown show for Baron Corbin.
Yep.
As we know, the Wolf Dogs should stay together on the main roster.
Yep.
Bron Breakker, like, would benefit.
Spoiler, I draft him to SmackDown on our draft video.
Yeah. And
he's stuck in NXT whilst Bron's on the main roster, by the way, right now, technically.
And it would be the funniest payoff to the troll heel gimmick of just them getting absolutely flattened by a gazillion mile an hour spear and an end of days drawing an even bigger pop than Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles.
Imagine the build up as well. They think they've beaten down Le Wolf Dogs, and Grayson Waller goes to do a shoey, you know, the spit.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets speared.
Oh my God. Speared out of his shoey.
Huh?
Hmm?
I was just going to book Legado del Fantasma because I think they'd have a great match with them and they'd be a decent team to lose to, to LDF. But
could they? We were talking about this morning.
Can't have New Catch Republic win.
No, we were talking about
Brits
this.
Brits in France, come on, no one's cheering for them.
We were talking about this at Good Brews this morning. We were, because we're that nerdy that we, even when we go and get our morning coffees, we're just
and stripping breakfasts.
You did
and
get a
stripping
waffle. You did get a waffle. We're just waxing lyrical about the Fed. Could the champions be champions up to and including Clash at the Castle for the Newcastle Republic to win them there? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like they're the team to beat, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, and it get a huge reaction as well.
One of those, I can book.
I've come to really like Newcastle Republic.
Aside from Authors of Pain, I can book all three of the other teams to beat them anytime.
Yeah.
And the Wolf Dogs, obviously. But I also simultaneously want that to happen. I want all those teams to get that moment of winning the tag titles and doing that.
Even though
Street Profits have obviously held titles before. But I also think, God, they're really good. It's just, you bastard, you've got away with it again.
It speaks to a loaded division, ultimately. Mm. You want to be thinking of a, like, somebody winning a belt and then having loads of challenges. Mm. And that's, like, what you currently have with most of the champions in WWE. It's, like, a nice time.
Next week's the draft as well.
Yeah. It's going to all, like, sort of things go up in the air. I think the Street Profits and the Authors of Pain could take each other out of this I would imagine the draft will split them up. I could see Lashley and the Street Profits being drafted as a stable to Raw.
Okay.
And maybe, like, treating that as a bit of a restart.
AOP move to NXT even?
They are there already, aren't they? Yeah, so, like, I think probably, like, Mega Glove probably suit NXT more than the main roster for a variety of reasons. So, yeah.
One final thing to talk about, the thing I've been most excited to talk to you about, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. What's next for the Bloodline 2.0? Paul Heyman couldn't believe what he was seeing last week. Jimmy Uso killed off temporarily until reuniting with his brother, hopefully, eventually. But now, the Bloodline, with The Rock away and Roman Reigns with his knob out on the Island of Relevancy, is Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga with potentially Jacob Fatu down the road.
Great segment. I'm going to remain cautiously optimistic because I think you have to be realistic about it. I don't want to piss on anybody's parade, but I think you just have to be realistic about a number of things. Right, for a start, this is by any other name, and they won't name it this, but this is like the new Bloodline. And when does new ever go well?
Mm.
New rockers, new foundation, new units. Like, it's in wrestling, less than ideal.
New World Order doesn't count as part of that, obviously.
New World Order and New Day don't count for obvious reasons. But yeah, when things are actually a second run of things, trickier. Bloodline 2.0, obviously they would go with, and like 2.0 was such a successful growth branding for NXT that I could see where they would want to carry that legacy.
Uh-huh.
However, it is, if nothing else, a very intriguing test of two perennial wrestling mid-carders being given an opportunity to make the step up. I like Solo Sikoa, and I think a well-booked Solo Sikoa is a guy you can go all the way with.
I could see him fighting Cody.
Yeah, definitely. I like Tama Tonga, despite what he's done to some of our friends and colleagues. I like Tama Tonga, and I really love the debut.
Couldn't
have presented him any better. He's in fantastic trim. Like, he looks the part.
Mm-hmm.
He's stepped up and is stepped into the role. Ready for it. You know, you sense that he's been told well in advance, come out looking like a 10.
Yes.
But as much as I like Tama Tonga, he is another guy who, like, quite good in like G1 settings sometimes, but I don't know what his ceiling is in WWE. Truthfully.
That's fair.
I don't know yet, and I will gladly be sort of shown it over the coming weeks and months. Jacob Fatu it's been presumed that he will also join, but I think there's no rush to reveal that.
No.
You almost want Solo to have like yet more agency by kind of like keeping Paul Heyman in the dark by having a tie. I would personally set up a match, if not for Backlash, for like a big SmackDown TV special. I would find a couple of baby faces that see an opportunity in this theoretically weakened Bloodline and then have the Bloodline destroy them.
Yeah.
Like, have Solo and Tama Tonga batter them as if to say, you weren't ready for this. You, like, Jimmy was dumb enough to think that he was still part of this. Paul Heyman, you should be looking afraid because we could take you out at any given moment. I think you go quite hard with this Bloodline act. No pissing about, like, road warrior type decimation of a team.
I've just realised, by the way, I've been talking about Legado del Fantasma a whole load and thinking it's Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Legado del Fantasma is Angel and Humberto.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah.
So you could have Cruz and Joaquin be the ones to... And nothing, you know, I'm not burying them necessarily, but...
No. I also
big baby faces.
I also think there is money down the line, not right now, because as I understand it, he's probably still carrying a bit of a knock, but this would be the time I would pull the trigger on physically assaulting the SmackDown general manager, can't remember his name,
ooh,
because there was always the bloodline thing, and what it sort of morphed into almost like a frustrated respect that Roman Reigns had for him.
Mm.
These two shouldn't, like these two should, I want people to like be frightened of these. I don't want it to be like, say like the peak of the Sami Zayn run, where it was like, you were almost excited because it was like, I'm going to love this because the story is going to be great, but also there's going to be some highs, some lows, some laughs, some whatever. Then it got super emotional in 2023 and there was a lot of acting. Then it got like Roman Reigns is kind of clinging on for dear life.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken all these different, Jimmy Uso was part of it. It's taken on all these different forms. Hard guys.
Yeah.
Dangerous men. Like that's what I think this bloodline has to be.
What they thought Mega Glove were going to be.
Yeah. Like, you have to buy them instantly as... Because ultimately, where this presumably goes is Roman Reigns either consolidating power as a heel that no longer knows if he can trust his guys or returning as a babyface to try and get power back. That's big time stuff.
Absolutely.
So you can't have them as, like, diet bloodline if that's the end game here. Like, you simply can't. Because, as well, what we have to think in kayfabe is that either Roman... or Rock the final boss, or a combination of the two are pulling the strings.
Yes.
Even if that's not the case, and it's revealed later on that like Roman...
I mean, it's the case in real life. We reported that obviously earlier on this week, that he's involved in bloodline storylines, which is really reassuring.
It's a benefit, isn't it? Yeah, you've got somebody that backs you. But in kayfabe, you need to assume that like Rock is giving the order to Solo, or give, you know, like that sort of stuff's got to linger in the background.
Yeah.
You can't have like headlock tags every week on SmackDown if that's your bit. They've got to decimate and they've got to dominate. And
also, it could be quite fun at A-Town Down Under trying to just stay below the radar of like, I know we've got these tag titles and you're pretty, whether it's Jacob Fatu and Tamar and Solo's doing so single stuff or whatever, however you want to do that, then being like, all right, boys.
Genuinely.
And then eventually having the Wolf Dogs versus Bloodline 2.0, it'd be a killer match.
Like, Wilborn, that's a fantastic pitch, right? Because... that would be equivalent of conspiracy theorist Sami Zayn trying to get on Roman's good side.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons that then kind of morphed into something else. I could totally see that. Like, hey, Bloodline, great to see you. Always loved your boss. Like, all that kind of stuff. Like, I could absolutely see that. Like, Austin Theory could be like, yeah, that's John Cena, eh? Nightmare, right? Like, they're just trying to, and they're like just deadpanning them, no-selling them, and they're like, we're getting it. Look, we've got loads of fruit on and we've got loads of stuff in our locker.
Grayson Waller keeps thinking Sokoa's giving him the thumbs up.
Yeah, like, I could honestly, like, and that's where, like, you draw the line between, like, we're not pissing about here, but you've got that little bit of levity to almost use the contrast as a way to enhance how serious they are.
Check out these pretty deadly lads just pissing about. Never catch us doing that, so.
Messing around. Get them.
Yes, boy.
Yeah. So let's go. It's like, you get them. Best get them.
Okay.
And they have to like do the bidding or something like that.
Pretty deadly, as they always should have been. Baby faces.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited for SmackDown.
When are we not?
Indeed. Well, let us know your thoughts ahead
of... Blue brand, weird, I'm never sad.
This week's episode on X, at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, so you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For Daily Wrestling Podcast. Me, Hamflett, and Sid will be back later on today to give you an AEW Dynasty preview, and Wrestle Culture's coming your way later on as well with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. Join us on Monday for the review. For now, my thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.